Blog Talk Radio.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves,
going in the sunshine, going in the shadow,
hearing neither clouds nor wind or chilling breeze.
That's fine thing.
By and by the harvest.
Everybody join us.
Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master. Though the loss has stained our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, He will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Indeed, indeed, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the harvest of souls. Good morning. Hope you're all doing well on this beautiful, beautiful Thursday. We are poised today to go to the St. Johnsville Nursing Home. Then after that, we go to prayer for the golden hour of prayer. Then after that, we go to the Militant Moms Bible Study. Then after that, to go do visits. We have a very, very, very busy day today. And it all starts with daily manna from heaven. I'm so glad you tuned in. We are looking at Ezekiel 36. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. And this week's study is entitled Prayer Meeting Group Request. Prayer meeting. We're holding a prayer meeting. And the people of God are making one request. It's a group request. Prayer meeting group request. What is that request? Membership increase. Ezekiel 36, verses 37 and 38. The word of God reads as following. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. To do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock, as a holy flock, as a flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast. So shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Let's Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We glorify your name. We draw near with great expectation. We draw near in faith, believing that you are true to your word. Whatever promise you make, you shall keep. And if your people draw near in faith, if they draw near by means of prayer, you shall unfold the promises before their very eyes. O Lord, bless us indeed. Bless us beyond our wildest imagination. Bless us, O God, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen, amen. We have been coming together in prayer as a church, as a body now, for over a year and a half. Without fail, every Tuesday we've been coming together believing God for all things in Christ Jesus. We've been believing God for healings. We've been believing God for the saving of souls. We've been believing God for spiritual growth. We've been believing God to draw back the backslider. We've been believing God for all sorts of things. Jobs. How many people have been praying for jobs and God has been granting jobs? How many people have been praying for the restoration of relationships and God's been doing that? For a year and a half, we have been believing God for X, Y, and Z. And we have to admit that it is the prayer meeting that has brought us this far. There's no doubt. What's the difference between grace before and after the prayer meeting? What's the difference? Well, before the prayer meeting, we were just existing. After the prayer meeting started, we can say that we are existing with purpose. We are existing with biblical vision being stirred up in us. It is the prayer meeting that has made all the difference. It's not the change in leadership. It's not a new pastor. No. It's us humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, beseeching him to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. It's prayer. It's drawing near to Almighty God, God's people, God's weak people, finite people. We're finite and we're weak. We cannot do it for ourselves. And this is why we turn to God in prayer. Look at the passage. We saw this on Tuesday. We looked at this portion on Tuesday. Thus saith the Lord God. Listen, we can take what God is saying here to the bank. We can rely on what God is saying here. We can trust in what God's saying here. We can believe what God is saying here because he's saying it. It's not some over-exuberant pastor who's saying this. It's not some wishful pastor, some pastor who wishes this might happen, who wants to, you know, jumpstart the church and talking a lot of hype. No. This is God. Thus saith the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord, the word Lord Adonai, the head of the church. God, he's a covenant-keeping God. God will never let the church go in the tank. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against her. Now, this is what God says. And he says, whatever you need shall be gotten by means of inquiring or by means of prayer. I will yet for this be inquired of. You want blessing? You want increase? You want life in the church? Pray to me. Inquire these things of me. Seek me out with all your heart. Seek me out with all your soul. Seek me without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Of this and for this shall I be inquired of. By whom? By the whole church. Not just by the pastor. It's not enough to have one man standing in the gap. No. He says, the whole house of Israel. The little ones who can pray. And the seniors who can pray. And everybody in between. And this is why when you look at our prayer meetings, you have little kids praying. And we welcome that. Why? Because that makes up the whole house of Israel. Every age group is seeking the Lord. That's the house of Israel. It's not just every family. It's not just every member. Because, you know, we tend to disregard the children. And Jesus says, oh, no. Suffer the little children. Let them come unto me. It's out of the mouth of babes that I have ordained praise. And this is why we welcome children to pray on the prayer line. And boy, I got to tell you, when I hear these kids pray, I'm stirred up. You listen to these children pray. They're praying. They have their little, I'm sure they have it written out. I'm sure they've given it some thought. And boy, they're on target. You see, God says, I be inquired if I'm sought out by the entire house of Israel to do what? To do it for them. We can't do it ourselves. Listen, we have some great leaders in the church. We have some great people with some great backgrounds, with some great training. We've got some great teachers. We've got people who've worked in schools. We have people who have worked in the business world. They have organizational skills. We have people that have tenacity. They have dogged determination. We have people who never give up. But all of that put together, our education, our skills, our gifts, our tenacity, our desire to see things happen, will never produce what we want. Why? Because it can only be produced with supernatural power. We don't have that power. This is why we need to get on our knees and seek the Lord that he may grant us these blessings. For this I shall be inquired of them, that I may do it. Remember, God expects us to do the things we can do. And then he expects us to acknowledge, to seek him for the things we cannot do. There are some things we cannot do. I cannot open a person's heart, only the Lord. Now, I can preach. The Bible says that Paul preached, and while he preached, while Paul did what he could do, the Lord was doing what he could do. Excuse me. And the text says, while Paul was preaching, while Paul was sharing the gospel, the Lord was opening Lydia's heart. You see, I do what I can do, and then God, I add my natural, as someone has said, I do my natural, and to that, God adds his supernatural. And so this comes about by means of the prayer meeting, a whole prayer meeting. Children, let the children and young people praying along with the adults, along with the seniors. They're all praying. Now, today we want to see, what are we praying for? What is this thing that we're asking God to do? What is this prayer meeting group request? What are they praying for? Property? No. Are they praying for finances? No. What are they praying for? Are they praying for more gifts? No. What are they praying for? Well, the text tells us, and this is what we're going to be talking about today, they're praying for increase. I will increase them. I will increase them. God's people in this particular text, in this particular prayer meeting, have one request. The group has one request. They're tired of congregations being empty. They're tired of the building, the temple being empty. They want God to increase their numbers. I will increase them with men like a flock. Now, the word increase here in Hebrew, as in English, means to enlarge. They want God to enlarge the membership. They want God to make the membership bigger. They want God to expand, swell, multiply, pile up the membership. You know, like when you pile something up and there's standing room only. I heard in talking to people like Harvey Rackmeyer and talking to people like Joyce and Ike, I asked them, was the church ever filled? And they said, well, Well, we were almost filled, but we had standing room only at funerals. Both told me, both to their recollection, they remember when some prominent people died, and there was standing room only when there was a funeral or what we call a celebration of life service. That was their recollection. Well, why do we have to wait for someone to die? Why do we have to wait for our numbers to be reduced by one to have standing room only? No. The promise from God is that he will increase us. He will make us bigger. He will make us larger. He will swell our numbers. He will multiply our membership. He will pile up the sheep so that we have standing room only. He will add. He will augment. That's what God promises to do. And he promises to do that with what? Money? No. Gifts? No. Real estate? No. With men. With redeemed souls. With people who will come back to. This is why the church is praying. Now, when I stand before you at times and I say to you, I'm praying to the Lord for 1,000 souls, I know some, and you're very nice to me. I know some of you are saying, boy, pastor's off his rocker. Pastor has lost it. And that's okay. I get it. But listen, I've done the math. In each service, we can fit 250 people. I am used to pastoring a church that has 4 to 5 services. I've never pastored a church. Well, let me clarify that. Let me qualify that. When I start out with a church, we're doing one service. But by the time we move in the Lord, we are to 4 to 5 services. So we can fit at Grace 250 people. If we were to do that 4 times, that would be 1,000. I'm asking the Lord, and I hope you would join me. I am asking the Lord for 250 children, 250 youth, 250 young adults, 250 seniors. Is that possible? Absolutely. I'm sorry about the interruption, but Linda just came home, and Benji was with me in studio, and he was having a panic attack because he wants to see his mother, so I had to open the door for him. So, now that Benji's out of the studio, I can get back. I'm asking the Lord, and we passed out these sheets. I'm praying for 1,000 souls. And listen, and this is why I keep doing these studies. This is why I keep bringing the subject up, looking at it from different angles, looking at it from different Bible verses. God says he will increase. He will do it. Jesus said, I will build my church. Well, how do you build a church? Well, how do you build a building? You start out with one brick. Look at Grace Church. Look at that wonderful sanctuary that sits there on 20 Center Street. It started by putting one brick down. But how many bricks does that building have? If you go to one side of the building, just go to one side. Try counting the bricks on one side. Then go to the front of the building and count the bricks on that side. Go to the side of the building where those huge trees are. Count those bricks. Go to the back of the building where that little white house is. And count those bricks. My brothers and sisters, the building was built one brick at a time. You have to add bricks to build the sanctuary. Well, are we not to be the temple of the Holy Spirit? Should not the temple of God have many bricks? Should not the temple of God have many people? You see, whatever angle you look at it, from whatever angle, it keeps coming back that God must add to his church if indeed he is building his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. and the powers of darkness shall not prevail against the project. God is building his church by adding souls. I will increase them with men. Remember, I was teaching on Moses and the vision at the burning bush. And God said to Moses, go get the people. Go, listen, I'm sending you to Egypt to go get the people. God didn't tell Moses to go to seminary. He didn't tell him to start a building program, build it and they will come. God didn't tell Moses to do any such thing. Any such thing that is promoted today in these church growth conferences. God says that if we pray, you don't have to go to a church growth conference to figure out how to build the church. What you need to do is attend the prayer meeting. It's that simple. Attend the prayer meeting and get everyone focused on one thing. To pray to God that he would increase the church. He says in his word, for this one thing I shall be inquired of. For this one thing my people shall pray to me, that I will increase them with men. To increase them with men like what? Here's the comparison. Like a flock. Like a flock. Like that's the comparison. Well, let me show you. Let me take you to Job chapter 1. Let me take you to Job chapter 1. Go there with me. Now, we know that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Job, these are the four patriarchs. These are the four main patriarchs of the patriarchal period. You have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Job. So let me read to you from Job chapter 1. It says, starting at verse 1, and there was a man in the land of Uz, or Oz, whose name was Job. And that man was, that patriarch, was perfect and upright, and one that feared God, and one who eschewed evil. Unto him were born 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance was also 7,000 sheep. How many sheep did he have? How many sheep did this man have? He had what? He had 7,000. God says here, through the pen of Ezekiel, if my people were to pray to me, if my people were to seek me out, I will increase them with men like a what? A flock. Anytime God compares his church to a flock, he's talking about thousands. Remember in the book of Acts, how many were saved on the day of Pentecost? My dear brothers and sisters, was it 50 people that were saved on the day of Pentecost? Was it 25 people that were saved? If we had 25 conversions, we would say we had a good Sunday. No, they had 3,000. And what were they doing before the Holy Spirit came? They were in the upper room. What were they doing? They were praying. They were praying for what? They were praying that God would increase the 120. After the day of Pentecost, they had 3,120. Job had how many sheep? 7,000 sheep. Look what Satan says. Satan says to God in verse 10 of Job 1, you have made a hedge of protection around him, and you have blessed him on every side, and you have blessed the work of his hands, so that his substance is increased in the land. Did Job come up with 7,000 sheep because he was an expert shepherd? No. God increased him. Again, I'm going to read it to you. Job chapter 1, verse 10, even Satan acknowledges. This is Satan speaking. You have made a hedge of protection around Job and also around his house, and you have blessed him on every side. You have blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased. What does Ezekiel 36:37 say, I will increase them with men like a flock. After Satan was allowed to take Job's wealth and strip him of all that he had, then God restored everything back to Job. So let's go to Job 42. Job 42:12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for now 14,000 sheep. You see how God blesses in the thousands? So when I come to you and I say to you, saints, I'm asking God for 1,000 souls. 1,000 is reasonable because that's all our building holds. We could only hold 250 people at one time. And if we do 4 services, that's 1,000. I'm not asking God for 7,000. I'm not asking the Lord for 14,000. I'm not asking the Lord even for 3,000. I'm praying, and I'm asking you to join me in prayer to make a group prayer to ask God for 1,000 souls. He will increase. You see, the word of the Lord is, the promise is, he will increase them with men like a flock. That's what they're praying for. So when I'm asking the Lord for 250 children for Sunday school, is it crazy? No. I'm right in the Bible. I'm right there in Scripture. I'm lining up with the Word of God. When I'm asking the Lord for 250 youth to add to the 250 children, that gives us 500. Then I'm asking the Lord for another 250 young adults, young married couples who are starting out their life and families. And I'm asking the Lord for 250 seniors. That rounds off the 1,000. I'm asking the Lord to increase us with men like a flock. Anytime you read in the Bible about God blessing people, he blesses them with flocks in the thousands. And this is why when you read about the early church, they're counting in the thousands. From day one, from the day of Pentecost, they are starting out in the thousands because that's what God does when he chooses to give them increase like with men like a flock. Now, I have in my hand a book. It's an old book. It was printed in, it's not that old, but it's relatively old. Printed in 1967. I was 8 years old when this book was printed. 1967. The price inside the book, according to the dust jacket, was $2.29. The book sold for $2.29. It's a 119-page hardback book, which today, this same book today would cost $20. So as you can see, the price has, you know, with inflation and all that, it's 10 times more what it would cost back in 1967. 1967, $2.29 was a chunk of change. Well, it's a book by Pastor Dr. Jack Hiles. He was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. Now, on this, I'm going to tell you what this dust jacket says, okay? I mean, it advertises the book. The book is called Let's Study the Revelation. It's his outlines of the teachings that he did on Sunday night on the book of Revelation. And, again, I'm really not interested in the book. I purchased the book because of what it said in the back. I purchased the book because when I teach a class on church growth, I always want to show my students that having a church of 1,000 is not an impossible thing. It was not impossible in the 1960s. You know, long before the church growth revolution, because people started talking church growth, church growth, church growth in the 1980s. Long before the 1980s, there were men of God, serious men of God, who had huge congregations. So let me read to you what this jacket says. concerning the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. It says, Dr. Jack Hiles is the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, the largest church in the world. One, the largest in Sunday school attendance, averaging, now listen to this, and I hope, listen, if you need to put your seatbelt on, put it on. The largest Sunday school attendance averaging 7,837. Now, if you say, Pastor, that's impossible, Pastor, I don't want to say you're lying, Pastor. I don't want to say you're fibbing, but that just can't be. I'll make a copy of this book cover for you, of this dust jacket. Okay? And this is why I kept the book. The outlines, you know, they're okay, but I didn't buy the book for the content of the book. I bought the book because of the dust jacket to make a point, to prove a point. So it has the largest in Sunday school attendance, averaging 7,837. The largest number of buses operating. Now he's talking about school buses. You know how many school buses this church had to pick up kids for Sunday school? 139 buses. That's why they had a Sunday school of 7,837. The largest outreach in distance, 45-mile radius. This church has such an impact in that area that people were coming from 45 miles away to this church. The largest number of souls saved, 12,262 in 1 year. Are you hearing that? The largest number of baptisms, over 6,023 in 1 year. This Sunday, this coming Sunday, August 13th, you know how many we're baptizing? 11 in 1 year. The First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana, in 1 year baptized 6,023 people. You can't tell me that God can't do it again. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, Pastor, but you know, St. Johnsville, stop making excuses. Listen to me. Sarah was barren. Sarah was past her age. If you were to compare Sarah to St. Johnsville, they're one and the same. No one would give St. Johnsville a chance. People would look at St. Johnsville and say, it's done. It's over. St. Johnsville's prime is way behind her. But remember what God said to Abraham and Sarah. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? When God, listen, the text says, I will increase them with men. And what is he comparing them to? A flock. Now, let's go back. I want to show you this. Go back to Job. Go back to Job. I want you to go back with me to Job. Job 1:3. Because we need to, listen, the text is so amazing. Job's substance was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 she donkeys, and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Think about all that livestock. Along with that livestock, if you were to go to Cobleskill Community College or the Cobleskill Agricultural College, and if you were to ask the professor of agriculture, How many sheep graze in 1 acre? He will tell you 7 sheep per acre, and that wouldn't last very long. 7 sheep for 1 acre. If Job had 7,000 sheep, how many acres would he need? How many acres? 1,000 acres. That's just for the sheep alone. Not to mention the camels, not to mention the oxen, not to mention the she donkeys. For the sheep alone, he would need 1,000 acres. So along with the increase, God gives property. But first, he gives you the increase of men. He gives you the increase of the flock. Then with those men comes the land. But put the men first. Never put the land first. Never put the acreage first. Always put the men first. You go get the men, everything else comes. So, the promise in answer to prayer is that the Lord God will grant tangible numerical growth. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Now, when I say to you, saints, let's believe God for 1,000, put 250 of this and 250 of that and 250 of the other, now you won't say, well, pastor is off his rocker. It's doable because the Lord will do it. He says, I will do it for them. We can't do it. He does it. He's the one who draws. He's the one who brings. He's the one who makes it happen. Lord, revive us again. Lord, in the midst of the years, revive us again.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who was born. Child with thy love, may each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.